Waiver Wire is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 or older.
What's going on, everybody? Super Wildcard Weekend is over. We are to the divisional round. This is going to be a fun episode today because today's episode is going to be about, whether he realizes or not, Eddie Spaghetti. And he had a big, big week last week. We got to kick it off. First of all, Eddie, you gave away a ring this week. Not a Super Bowl ring, but it sounds like you locked up some of your future there.
I did, yes. Big weekend. When you say big weekend, I'm thinking, good weekend for my sports teams. I'm kidding. This was, we were in Vegas together, and the plan was starting to come into place. So I knew it. I had a few days in between our return from Vegas to the, you know, popping the question. So then Thursday night up in the old Hollywood Hills, I did it. And, it wasn't one of those things where after almost 9 years, you're like, oh, is she going to say yes or no? I know some people have to go through that. Mine was more the fact that she kind of knew it was on the way, and it's been so long and much deserved that I just wanted him to go to plan. And it did. And it was a perfect night, which really started off an unbelievable weekend.
Yeah. And that's what I want. It was funny because we had to move our podcast last week from Wednesday to Thursday. And he said, I cannot do late on Thursday. And I was like, OK, no problem. We can do early in the afternoon. And now I know why.
He had
a serious event that night. And it made me so happy.
I got to say, Jen, us doing that pod when we did, and Thursdays, for those who don't follow the EP schedule this closely, Thursday is a little bit of a busier day. You have a bunch of shows going, sometimes our show, some -3 extra points, sometimes against all odds, a lot of things going on. And I was like, this is great. The more things I have going on, the more my mind is off that I could focus on work and just chat with you about football and having a good time. So any distraction was welcome that day. But, the nerves, once I got through it pretty quickly, the nerves were gone. Then I was on to just relax mode, enjoyment mode. And it was really nice.
Well, congratulations to you both. Jada is amazing. She is a gorgeous, smart woman. You guys have been together 9 years, and I think you're going to be very happy.
Thank you, Jen.
Happy for both of you. She's very fortunate to have such a great guy.
I appreciate that. And everyone also reached out. I really overwhelmed with all the positive, nice comments. It's very, very nice to see that there are some good people out on the internet still, and our fans are the best. And everyone at EP has been awesome to me. So it's been a really, really great stretch just to see, there are, like I said, really good people from our Vegas trip into this engagement. Everyone gets a thumbs up.
I feel like a lot of pressure, though. We need to win all our bets and our fantasy leagues so you can help pay for the wedding and the honeymoon and all the
ways away. Ways
out.
Away. Let's just enjoy this.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait a second. What do you mean a ways away? You already
Look, her words not mine. Her
to
words
pop
not
the question.
Mine.
Are you buying a couple more years here with the ring? What's going
on?
Oh
yeah, I definitely think so. I think it's definitely not going to be a very cool, a quick wedding. It's going to be down the road. We have a lot of friends. We're at the age now. We're getting emailed or in the mail every day. Hey, new wedding coming. This month. And plus, some people originally got pushed back from during the COVID times. And I think right now, again, Jada's words not mine. She wants to enjoy this. And we've had a long journey with a lot of distance. In New York to LA, and LA to Bakersfield, New York to Boston, this and that. So we're just right now we're chilling. We're finally together. No roommates or anything. So we're just enjoying this time together.
Guys, if you want to find out how long you can string it out with a woman, Eddie Murphy is your idol here.
Yeah.
It's going to be like 14 years before they're actually married. And then he'll probably do it like somewhere where it's not actually 100% legal. Or he'll do it in Vegas where it can be annulled or something. I don't know. But
right,
anyway,
back to Vegas.
There you go. But that's not where the good news stopped for you, Eddie.
No.
Your weekend got even better. since this was foregone conclusion, Jada was going to say yes. When the Giants upset the Minnesota Vikings, which we did call last week on this podcast, I was feeling it. You were feeling it. I'm going to give you a second to bask in the glow here.
It feels really nice. It feels great. You're right, Jen. We did pick it. I feel like, generally speaking, a lot of people did. People were saying it was going to be an upset. It was going to be the Giants. I know that our network, a few people did not pick the Giants. Harry included. I'm sorry that his Vikings lost. But I felt pretty good about the game. I thought they matched up really well.
Vikings were due to get exposed. Sorry.
Yeah, I think so. Their past defense, which we talked about, it really is bad as it gets. And the Giants were healthy at the right time. And it really just comes down to just Daniel Jones playing magnificent football, mistake-free football, scoring touchdowns, not, you know, waiting for field goals. And it was a great win. My heart was pounding the entire time until the clock hit zero. And now we're on to the big bad Eagles, number one seed, the team that's had a number for quite some time. But, you know, we'll get into down the road. But for right now, for the next few days, I am really going to enjoy this victory. From a 4-win team to then winning your first round playoff game as an underdog is pretty great.
As far as fantasy is concerned, I mean, I took the over on the Daniel Jones rushing prop. He smashed it.
Of course.
Yeah. He's looking interesting to me. You know, the things that Brian Daboll have done as a Cowboys fan, I have to say, like, I look at all the remaining coaches and our coach kind of comes up looking like he drew the short straw, right? Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a Daboll. I'd rather have a Sirianni. That being said, I'm not, you know, rooting against my Cowboys. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But Daniel Jones, you know, are they going to give him the bag or are they going to give him the tag?
Oh, I mean, I think the tag would put him probably in the stratosphere in terms of the pay level. Obviously, you get the average of the top, you know, five of the position, whatever it is. I don't think he deserves a tag. I think he deserves a deal because of he's been playing so well when it counts. And, you know, people are now realizing like, oh, wait, quarterbacks actually do play better if they have a really good coach and they have a stable organization and they're adding pieces in the draft of free agency that helps you getting back a healthy Saquon Barkley. Who would have thought that would have helped? Who would have thought that Andrew Thomas becoming an all-pro left tackle would have helped? Or drafting a guy like Evan Neal, who's struggling, but he'll be great by, you know, in a year or two. Like, this thing's matter. Look, Mike Kafka getting a bunch of interview requests for a head coaching job. Like, this stuff matters. You're not supposed to go in the draft and go, well, we'll find our Patrick Mahomes. It's not that easy. Teams don't do that. I mean, us in fantasy definitely know that, where week in, week out, we see how it is, how hard it is to gauge quarterback, especially this year. And I think that Daniel Jones is finally putting it together again, not turning the ball over, using his legs when he has to, and making teams that have poor pass defense pay. And he's, I mean, the no-look passes and just being super smooth out there. He feels in control and it's a great feeling, and he deserves, he bettered himself. And the Giants said, no, we're going to see how you play this year. They declined his option and he bettered himself. And he's having a fantastic season and it couldn't have happened to a better guy. He's so easy to root for. I would drop as much money as need be to keep him around, not see him go somewhere else, because that guy deserves it.
A few players did that this year, including Josh Jacobs, right?
He's
like, you know what? I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. You didn't. Fine. Lamar Jackson, maybe a different conversation, but we only have an hour for our podcast, so we probably won't get into that today. Isaiah Hodgins looks like someone we should keep our eyes on for next season as a potential value. A lot of times people stop watching when it comes to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And he has been a favorite target of Daniel Jones. He looked great. He had a monster game last Sunday. Let's see what he does this week versus the Eagles, a much tougher, you know, defense. But I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Jones looks to him often.
I'm with you, Jen. Isaiah Hodgins is a guy that the Bills will probably kick themselves for letting him go. Not that they desperately need a receiver, but a guy that has great hands, a big body. He's just doing the right thing. So he, you know, in that game, that one catch he had going on the out route where most receivers would have dropped it, he just snagged it. And again, going against mostly Patrick Peterson, a guy that's a potential Hall of Famer next week. Obviously, you just mentioned the Eagles potentially against Darius Slay. Two tough matchups. Daniel Jones throughout the season is kind of, at certain points, changed who his primary guy was. A lot of points, it was Darius Slayton. A lot of points, it was Richie James. Even some point, Dalen Bellinger before the eye injury. Isaiah Hodgins, who popped up midway to the later part of the season, really became the guy. And he's the one guy out of all that those receivers that I mentioned, you could say, I think he actually has the chance of having to be a legitimate receiver in this league. And I think for going into next year, obviously the Giants probably will add more pieces, more weapons to help Jones out. But I definitely think he's got to be on your fantasy radar.
And obviously Saquon Barkley is a stud. We're going to get into our fantasy playoff team shortly, but I want to stick a little bit more on last week's games versus this week's games to kind of give you some ideas of how we're reading them, how we're thinking about maybe some player props and DFS plays and our playoff lineups. So I'm going to give you the spreads for all of the games, Eddie. And then I want you to tell me, because we picked a good upset last week, who your favorite, if there's an upset, and I understand maybe favorites will all win, but who you would pick for your upset pick this week. All right. So we've got the Jaguars, who are 8.5 point underdogs to the Chiefs. The Giants are 7.5 point dogs to the mm-hmm. Eagles. Bengals 5 point dogs to the Bills, and Cowboys 3.5 point dogs to the 49ers. So money line upset, no points. If you're getting picking only one team, yeah. Who is it this week?
That changes the question dramatically, because when you're getting the points, Jen, I can almost be talked into a number of teams here. I think with money line, and this is probably no shock if you've been listening to the sound of my voice or even your voice on this show, but I've said it before, -3, anyone that wants to listen to me, I picked the Bengals in the preseason. That was my Super Bowl pick. And, you know, the Bills defense has not looked super sharp. I mean, I don't know your thoughts on this, Jim, but if Tua or Teddy B played in that game, we may be talking about a Bengals versus Dolphins matchup. So I like the Bengals in this game. I think that there's a legitimate shot they win this game by more than a score. I think they could, if Joey Burrow gets hot, Their offense is potent. Bill's defense has not been great. Like I mentioned, it's a lot of just Josh Allen, Novon Miller. That without him, I mean, he was the real Jenga piece, as Dave likes to use. And Josh Allen's been trying to do everything, but it was just a sloppy game, not the game you expected from the Bills. And I know the Bengals did play a close one versus the Ravens, but you almost kind of expected that in division team. And I think this one is going to be more loose. I know it's going to be in Buffalo, but I like the Bengals to win this one. All right.
Well, I would say that I do not disagree. And in fact, my lock of the week, if I'm giving like a lock bet of the week, has to be Bengals +5. Like, how are we getting +5 points for the Bengals? They were 12-5 against the spread this season. Mm-hmm. They're just continually disregarded. And I agree. Like, we saw them get out in front, even in that shortened game that we didn't get the whole, week 17 result from. Listen, Sal, you would not have won that game. That being said, Joe Burrow did get out in front early, and the Bengals only have lost a game they were leading, given up a lead one time this year. So, I mean, it obviously is a very small sample size, but the Bengals, they could do this. I easily see this. As you mentioned, the Bills have been just squeaking by lately. Yeah. Barely got out. They were favored by 13.5 versus a third string quarterback. They won by 3. Now there's a part of me that says that the whole DeMar Hamlin thing is going to be working for them, the energy, but now, Joe Burrow's got a lot of energy too, and they're looking to repeat as AFC champs. They're on a 9-game win streak. So I think this is going to be a great game. That being said, I think if I'm picking this week, I am taking every underdog plus points. Everyone.
I'm with
across
you.
The board. Jaguars +8.5. Chiefs allowed the most passing touchdowns this year. 33. They allowed 33. Yes, they have a lot of pressures on the quarterback. That just means Trevor Lawrence is probably going to scramble. I'm taking the over on his rushing prop. I'm taking the over on 1.5 passing touchdowns. I think the Jaguars are going to surprise us. Their defense isn't better. I'm not saying they win, but I do think they can come within 8.5. I do think that's possible. The Giants, again, Eagles, 100%. Look, they smashed the Giants when they started their starters and the Giants started their starters. But I don't think this is the same team. And even though Jalen Hurts is off the injury report, I don't buy it. So unless Jalen Hurts is 100% healthy, yeah, I think the Giants can get within a touchdown. I don't know that they can win it, but I'm taking the points. Bengals I already talked about. And now we're going to get to my beloved Dallas Cowboys.
Yep. Just a quick echo, all your things you just said, I totally agree with. The Jaguars kind of, they must know they skated, they got really lucky, and they're going to come out, I don't see a 4-interception half from Trevor Lawrence again. And we know the story of the Chiefs being at home and covering. It's they're going to give up some points. I still think the Chiefs will win the game, but I definitely think they'll keep it within that. The Giants, the week 14 game, the huge loss to the Eagles. They were missing Xavier McKinney. They were missing Leonard Williams. They're missing a bunch of guys. So yes, it was their starters, but they weren't as healthy as they were now. I think also Daniel Jones is playing a way different version of football. So I do think it'll be a close game in that one. I'm also with you. Even Jeff Schwartz said it too, that he thinks that Jalen Hurts' shoulder is still messed up. And he was just on -3 talking about that. And I don't think it's a good sign when your coach brings that up. So yeah, off the injury report, still injured. And the Bengals, I like them on the money line. And then your team, which we're going to get into now. I said I love them in a blowout versus the Buccaneers. That one to me, I did not buy in the Tom Brady. Nope. at home, yeah. and like he just was not playing good football. And when the Cowboys are on, they're very good. And look, Brock Purdy, great story, undefeated right now. Stuff like that doesn't last in the NFL. A team will figure you out. He's a rookie quarterback. There's no track record of a rookie winning a Super Bowl. The Cowboys, yes, they're of course they're flawed. People like to make fun of McCarthy, but that spread is too little, and I like the Cowboys at the points.
So a couple things here. First off, I said to Parlay Kid, actually, we were talking in Vegas. He's like, what about our Cowboys, Jen? I was like, you know what? I'm hopeful. I think they got it out. They had their crap game in week 18, and now they're going to be fine. They got it out of their system. They looked terrible. Now, do we need to find a kicker? That's certainly a question we could debate. But they got it out. They looked absolutely dominant. Now, yeah, the Tampa Bay Bucs aren't a great team. Look, they were a losing team in the postseason that had a home field advantage, but they still had the GOAT, right? They still have Tom Brady, who looked sad, just sad in general. They couldn't stop. They got so much pressure on Tom Brady, and that's what the Cowboys can do. Now, you know, concerns about Jayon Kearse, you know, injuries, things like that. That being said, I don't think we should discount also the narrative that this will be payback potentially for the Niners eliminating the Cowboys last year in the wild card round, right? So there's a lot going on here. And you're right about Brock Purdy. To your argument earlier about how getting the right system around a quarterback makes a quarterback better, Brock Purdy has been amazing in what could be considered maybe a foolproof offense. That being said, I still think he's made some better plays than Jimmy Garoppolo would have made. I actually really like Brock Purdy. I think he's not getting enough credit. But he's still an inexperienced quarterback. Of all the quarterbacks in the postseason, Dak Prescott is the oldest, 29 years old. This is a young guard. Right? Dak Prescott is the better quarterback. If you're just talking about who's the better quarterback, it's Dak Prescott.
Sure.
They both have phenomenal defenses. And so I just think it could go any way. I really do. And so I'm taking the points, and I am really sick and tired. I'm just going to say this right now. I'm sick and tired of people coming at me if I'm happy and I say go Cowboys. And I am not an obnoxious Cowboys fan. I'm pretty sure I'm not one of the more obnoxious Cowboys fans. I'm just a Cowboys fan. That's who I root for. People coming at me about like, oh, they're so terrible. Don't worry. They're so bad. They're going to get annihilated by the enjoy it now. Can't you just be like, hey, congratulations. I'm sick of that. And so I'm so tired of it that now I really want the Cowboys to come out and stomp the Niners. And I had picked the Niners. I had picked the Niners to go to the Super Bowl. But now that they're facing the Cowboys, I retract my pick. I want it to be the Cowboys because you Niners fans are nasty.
Yeah, Jen, I'm with you completely. You know, the Dak thing, hearing that Dak is the oldest quarterback, he's 29, that is so wild to think about. But yeah, I mean, look, there's a reason why there's, you know, only this 72 Dolphins undefeated, obviously the Patriots until the Super Bowl versus the Giants. Like teams, like stretches like this don't really happen. The NFL, just a team always figures it out. That's why everyone always says any given Sunday. And I think the Cowboys, you know, the 49ers were bad pass offense. Obviously, they rotated through three different quarterbacks this year. I think they were like 13th in pass offense around there. Obviously, they were top 10 in rush offense.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, that's the thing. You can beat their secondary.
Yeah.
And so if we can, you know, not lean too much on the run game, if we can figure out a way to get creative, I think Pollard will be active in the passing game, too. Yeah. More Pollard than Zeke, then yeah, you can beat their secondary. And we've got CeeDee Lamb, we've got T.Y. Hilton, we've got options.
That's my point. And I think that, look, if the Niners defense, great defense, decides we're going to stop the Cowboys rushing attack, well, I trust Dak and the passing offense to win this game. Do we know that if McCaffrey and company, you know, running the ball, if they're shut down completely by Dallas, do we know that Brock Purdy is going to be able to pick apart this Cowboys defense en route to an NFC title game? I don't know. No one has an answer yet. So, but I am going to trust the guy, like you said, the veteran, the oldest quarterback in the playoffs, the guy that, you know, has the very talented receiving group. I trust Dak in a spot over Brock Purdy. And again, this is not take away from what Brock Purdy probably played himself into a starting role. But it's the playoffs are a different animal. And I just think if somebody wants to tell me, like we just said before, take all the underdogs and the points, I think it's a smart move. I think all the games going forward will be close. I don't think we're going to see any more blowouts. I think
it's either
within a score, 8 points, like in that range.
I agree. And I love it. I'm totally here for it. I think this is going to be a really fun. There's so many great storylines in this postseason. I think it's phenomenal. So, yeah, I guess I would now say my pick for the upset set is officially the Cowboys, which, by the way, actually pays the least for a money line upset. So maybe Las Vegas agrees with me. Looks like Caesar Sportsbook might agree with me here. We shall see. But I'll just tell you right now, before I put in my arcade picks, I'm just taking the underdogs and the points because I think these are going to be close games. And we were completely simpatico because we both went 3-3 last week. Okay. I mean, so two underdogs pulled off the upset, but three favorites failed to cover. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe the only ones who cover, the Bengals did not cover, the Bills did not cover, and who's the other game that I'm missing? Because obviously the Seahawks first half were close.
The Niners blew out the Seahawks and the Cowboys. It was like an 18 and 17 point difference. So those two games were the biggest annihilations.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And the Chargers.
Jack's Chargers, which, right. I mean, the first half, that will look like great, easy win here. They flipped it around. That was one of the strangest games.
That was so upsetting
I've ever seen. Or like, it's between the total collapse right off the bat for Trevor Lawrence and their offense, four turnovers. The Chargers look great. And then the weird stuff with the ref and Joey Bosa, and then just the way, I mean, what a strange game. I would have liked a Chargers Chiefs. I think everyone probably would have liked the Chargers Chiefs matchups. I do think there was a chance that the Chargers could get hot, and I think Herbert could have beaten maybe Mahomes. I don't feel as confident in the Jaguars. I do think they'll cover though, but what a weird game. But yeah, we both won 3-3. Obviously, we were on the Giants, did the upset win to win outright. That was a good one. But
Who the real winner is here this weekend? Waffle House. When was the last time we talked this much about Waffle House?
A Trevor Lawrence celebration there. Yeah. He, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his career. Seems like that's a defining moment in his career. He struggled throughout the season, played a pretty good stretch of football near the end of the season. Then the way like they got in the playoffs was strange. So I didn't love them in this game because of that. And they started off the same way they kind of finished that last game versus the Titans. And like I said, I think this week of practice, they're like, basically everything we did do the opposite in that first half of the game. But the Chiefs at home, they're not that great at home. So it should be, you know, like you said, between eight and a half point game. I think
I like the over for Christian Kirk receiving yards. I like the over for Trevor Lawrence. I think it's 25 and a half rush, 1.5 passing touchdowns. I want the over there. Yeah, I'm taking Jack. So everything lines up for it if they're going to be playing from behind. So anyway, I'm there with that. I think it's going to be a great weekend. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Have you been betting with the Caesars Sportsbook and Casino app? If so, keep it up, because every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means win or lose, you're getting closer to amazing perks like game tickets, free stays, bonuses, and more. And if not, well, when you get started, your first bet is on Caesars. Register with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a free bet. 21 and older only, offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 or more wager only must register with an eligible promo code. Bet amount of a qualifying wager return only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit is $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier Casino, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, that's 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, as far as our fantasy teams go, let's stop there. So we are technically, full transparency, we are technically in fourth place in our extra points playoff league, but we're like fractions of a point behind Harry. So I'd say we're like tied for third.
Yeah, we are at 174.3. Harry is at 174.7. So we are a point four behind Harry. And honestly, not that far away from Covering Glory in second place. We're only 7 points behind Toby there. Martin has a pretty nice lead in first place. He's at 212. But
so this is my only reason that I might not want the Cowboys to win. And that's because, you know, Martin, if the Bengals upset and the Cowboys upset, then Martin could be winning this league just right there because he picked Burrow and Prescott. Only good news is, so did we in our big money league, Eddie. We're doing quite well over there.
Yes.
Again. So we took Prescott, we took Burrow. We're getting double points this week. In a little bit, we're going to go make our substitutions because we did lose a few players because we had to take a player from each team. So now we get to make some replacements, and that's going to be a fun debate here in a minute, who we pick. But we have a good start.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled to hear that. And, you know, and to go back to our league, if people are following our extra points league, you know, it's one of those things where every decision we made, I don't feel bad about. So like right now we're, you know, a fraction away from third place, pretty close to second place. We're right in striking distance. We have a lot of guys left. We have our some, you know, big name dudes.
Big names left.
Travis Kelce, Jalen Hurts left. So I'm not worried about that. I mean, you could say the only bad output we really had, Justin Jefferson, did not expect that, and Tyler Lockett. But again, it was like, it's a coin flip between DK or Tyler Lockett. Lockett's probably the more consistent guy in, you know, the first half. I thought, wow, this is a game maybe that the Lockett pick will be pretty good. But look, you still, everyone else for us performed, CeeDee Lamb, Saquon Barkley. So I'm pretty happy with our Josh
and
Allen.
Even though Justin Tucker didn't do a lot for us, it created space for us to use Evan Ingram and Saquon Barkley, which turned out great. So I'm really glad we made that last minute change. We talked through that, and that was the right thing to do. So hopeful that, this is who we have remaining on our team for those keeping track at home. We still have Josh Allen. We have Saquon Barkley. We have Christian McCaffrey. We have Jamar Chase, Evan Ingram. We lost Austin Eckler. We still have CeeDee Lamb. We lost Tyreek Hill. We lost Jefferson. We lost Lockett. We lost Tucker. We still have Jalen Hurts, and we still have Travis Kelce, and we lost the pathetic Tampa Bay defense, which did nothing for us.
Yep.
But that being said, there was nobody else I really wanted. And there was no one else that was really great. Mike Evans, I guess, was the best, but wasn't.
No, I think we made the right move there. We don't have to worry about that. We didn't really burn any. Look, we have both our quarterbacks going forward. We have two running backs going forward. We have both. Three receivers going, or two receivers going. We have Travis Kelce, and we kept Ingram now too. So I feel really good about our team, and no complaints whatsoever. But it's fun. Martin has a really big lead. Toby back in the mix like he was last year. I believe Harry was solid last year. So. You know, it's a good final top four right now.
Didn't Sal also roll with Dak? I'm really impressed by the people that rolled with Dak. I guess we did. Yeah, he did. He has Dak and he has Mahomes. So oof, that team, that could be a powerful one. We got to keep an eye on them. They're technically behind us now, but wouldn't take a lot for them to catch up right now. So this is very competitive league. And it's hard not to be, I guess, when you have the parameters. Like, there's only so many choices you can make.
Right.
So I have a feeling this is going to end up being pretty close. But whoever made the biggest difference, which probably it could be who has Dak Prescott, but we shall see. Luckily, we don't have Brock Purdy. So, and for you, I'm sorry that you sort of have to root against your Giants for our fantasy team, but
that's what's great about doing fantasy postseason, leagues, people. If you want to join a league and your team is in it, even if your team loses, you could still root for the players on the opposing team as they continue and hopefully win your league, win you money, win you bragging rights. That is the beauty of this. So, yeah, if Jalen Hurts smokes the Giants, it's like, well, you know what? We're moving on to the NFC title game with him, and it gives us points.
So let's jump over to our NFC team, which looks pretty good. Let me give you what we have there. We have Joe Burrow. We will be getting double points for Joe Burrow's game this week. We have Dak Prescott. We'll be getting double points for Dak Prescott. Now, we have divided allegiances here because we have Josh Allen in our extra points league, who we really need to advance, and we have Joe Burrow in our NFC league, who we would really like to advance. So, you know, either way, we win here, I guess.
Yeah.
We're getting double points for Joe Burrow. We're getting double points for Dak Prescott. We're getting double points for Christian McCaffrey. We lost Austin Eckler, so we got to grab a running back. We get to keep Travis Etienne, who's going to get double points, who I like again this week. We get to keep, we have AJ Brown, who's going to get double points this week in his first game. We have Stephon Diggs, who's going to get double points this week. We lost Justin Jefferson. We get to keep Saquon Barkley, who gets the double points. And we lost the Ravens kicker and the Buccaneers defense. So let's talk running back. Who would we like in this spot? Let me give you some options we're allowed to take. Joe Mixon, Tony Pollard, Miles Sanders, Zeke, Jerick McKinnon. That's probably all we would want to consider. And I don't think we want to go as far as Devin Singletary.
Right. No, I'm with you on that. Man, I know the Giants, you know, their rush defense all year hasn't been great, but I'm not sure if I think Miles Sanders is the one to make them pay. I really would love to. I mean, look, in the Cowboys Tampa game, Zeke really couldn't get anything going. Tony Pollard clearly is the guy. So I think out of the Dallas backfield, we'd have to probably side with Tony Pollard.
I think so.
But then, you know, when I see Mixon, I'm thinking, well, if I believe in my Super Bowl pick and them to advance, it's like he's also the guy that could be there for the next, you know, we would give a ton of multipliers.
But we could get Jamar Chase as a wide receiver instead.
Ooh.
Because we can only have add one more from Cincinnati.
Right.
So that limits it. So think about that as opposed to here's an idea, just the thought. It's between Pollard to me, I think.
Definitely.
And Jerick McKinnon.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure that there's any other person from Kansas City that I would slot in here. Like, I don't think there's a receiver I trust. We've already got Kelce. But the Jags have actually allowed a whole, the, like an 82% catch rate to running backs who catch. And I'm wondering if Mahomes goes on, which we think he probably will.
I think so.
If McKinnon might have a good day. So to me, I do also like Miles Sanders as an option potentially.
Yeah.
Because he did have one really good game versus the Giants. That being said, the last couple games, he's been shut down.
Right.
So,
Yeah, and the Giants did a fairly good job against Dalvin Cook. There was no really big.
That's right. I think they only allowed like 67 ground yards or something. Like,
right. Right. They clamped down. I'm with you on Pollard. I think the McKinnon thing, because again, this is going against our picks of we think it may be close, but let's just say there is a Chiefs blowout. They're going to be sitting the ball the rest of the game. That could be points for Jerick McKinnon. I feel like the Chiefs are constantly, always inside the red zone, always inside the 5 yard, and they could maybe catch one of those shovel passes from Patrick Mahomes. So that's not a bad pick either. I think now that you say that, we would lose out on Jamar Chase, and just because of the coin flip between, you know, the Zeke or Pollard, which kind of lead back would it be, the Chiefs may make sense here.
All right, let's pencil in Jerick McKinnon. All right. Okay, because then that will show us what else is locked out. So now moving to wide receiver, we have a wide receiver, a kicker, and a defense to replace. That's all we have left.
Okay.
But here are options that we're allowed to add. They're good. Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Devonta Smith, T. Higgins, Christian Kirk, who I think is going to have a big game this week. I just don't know that he advances. Deebo Samuel, who was a beast last week. Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Zay Jones. All these people can go in this because it's a wide receiver, tight end.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Who do we like?
Wow. We got a pick of the litter.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, is it now gambling on the receiver you think will advance?
I think so, because then we get the double points. But then again, maybe not. Maybe like one huge game is worth more than two crummy games, right?
I understand. Yep. See, a lot of strategy in this, folks. This is, man, this is tough. Yeah, Debo's intriguing because of how much he can do. He's just the perfect utility type player. But knowing Ja'Marr Chase is out there, I just can't see the Bengals winning without Ja'Marr Chase having a big game. They're going to have to score a ton of points because the Bills are going to put up points. But CeeDee Lamb is like, he is the guy. This is the hardest one of all time.
It's hard.
This is really tough.
It's hard. Now, we already have Stephon Diggs, Travis Kelce, and A.J. Brown, and Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
We have a pretty stacked team.
I'm a fan, yes.
Chase, Lamb, Higgins, Debo. I think it's between Chase, Lamb, and Debo.
That's what I would say.
That's really hard. Well, we've got Dak Prescott. Do we go for the stack? We risk losing them both if they lose, but if they win, we've got a stack. Or we can divide our losses, right? We can hedge and take Debo.
I feel like I'm leaning towards Debo.
Okay. I'll do it. Debo over Chase. Because we're doubling down. We're stacking if we use Chase.
I'm cool.
But we also have Stephon Diggs, so we have that hedged a little bit.
Yep. I'm cool with Debo. I just think he just brings so much to it. I know.
Is he healthy?
I feel like he's never fully healthy, but I'm not opposed to it. I just don't see a game where the Bengals are not going to win a 17-13 game. It's going to be in the 30s. I could definitely see Ja'Marr Chase either eclipsing 100 yards or having a touchdown at the very least. I just can't see them winning without him having a monster game.
Me too.
But Debo is just such a constant factor in that offense. And again, this is a young quarterback, has to rely on his playmakers. And I just feel like Debo will be such a factor in that game. So I'm fine with them. And it's not take away from Lamb either. I think, like I just said before, I think the Cowboys are going to be in this game because of their pass offense.
Chase and stack with Burrow or Debo and divide the risk with Dak.
I think maybe just to avoid any future risk, I think we maybe slide with Debo.
All right, Debo it is. Sorry, Dak.
I think also for those who are listening and want to do, you know, player prop, I also would not be shocked if all three of those guys have great games, three score a touchdown. Like, I could see that happening. I think, again, when you're dealing with guys who are at this level of being great, you're pretty much not going to have that much of a drop off from one or the other, unless one has an all-time game. But this is the playoffs. You don't really see as much of that. Everyone kind of keeps it tight.
So let's go to a defense next. The lowest game total of the week is Cowboys Niners. Here's another option. We can take the Dallas defense or the Niners defense, and that might also help shed light on that position.
Mm-hmm.
We're obviously not taking the Dallas kicker.
No, we can't have a kicker with the yips. I mean, that's an all-time. I felt miserable for him because he statistically he's a good kicker, great from distance. But man, that's just like you see it in golf. You see it in sometimes with hockey goalies. Like, I mean, you get the yips bad, and Brett Maher got that. So definitely no Dallas kicker. I think definitely Dallas or San Fran's the move. I think, I mean, do we get...
Now we can't use San Fran because we're using Debo. So if we use San Fran, we got to ditch Debo.
Okay, I don't think I would do that. You know how great their defense is.
So then we'll go Dallas.
But Dallas is, you guys can, you have, you know, you obviously sacks, interceptions are great. So I think Dallas is definitely good at that. And I'm fine with that pick.
Otherwise we can go Jaguars, Bills... Giants.
Definitely not Jags. The Bills.
Bengals and hope Josh Allen throws a few interceptions.
Or Josh Allen tries to jump over the goal line and then Hubbard takes it all the way to the house.
Yeah.
That'd be another good one to get that again. I just feel like maybe this is the Cowboys turnover prone defense. Brock Purdy makes a couple of mistakes this game. It could happen. A strip sack from Parsons
Hey. Dallas defense.
Marcus Lawrence. I don't know why I feel good about that. I think that one will be a tight game.
And you know what? If they advance, it could pay off for us. All right. And then finally, we need a kicker. And here are our only options: Bills, Giants, Jaguars, Bengals, Eagles. Evan McPherson was good to us last year.
McPherson was good. He was when we originally were building our teams. I did put McPherson written down. Wouldn't be, you know, Gano, very accurate too. Great kicker. Wouldn't be against that. But also could reverse.
And they could have to kick a lot of field goals if this week, if Philadelphia's tough.
It's possible. I mean, if you want to just keep the multiplier, I feel safe about the Bengals than I do the Giants. Although the Eagles, if you want to get a bunch of points against the Giants, because the Giants seemingly give up 60 plus yard field goals every few weeks, that's definitely a team to pick. I'm fine with McPherson if we want to go that route, if that's the best option.
It still gives us room to use Jamar Chase next week if they advance.
Okay.
You want to do that?
I'm fine
with it. Or do you want to go with Eagles? Because all we have is AJ Brown.
Oh, yeah. We could get the multiplier that way, too. That's probably the safest bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, we'll go Eagles. I don't know, though. Should we be loyal? He won us last year.
He did. I mean, we had a massive multiplier with him. I am picking them to advance, but...
All right.
But I also know that, you know, the Eagles are probably a safe bet to the second biggest favorite. Man, what about the kicking conditions? Like the weather situation in Buffalo and the weather situation in Philadelphia?
That's a good question. That's what we need. We need to know. We got to think about who could potentially be in a dome, who could be inside, who could be outside. I'll tell you what, we better look that up. We should have done our research.
I'm looking right now. Let's see if I could find something quickly here.
Round weekend weather.
I feel like there was a huge storm coming through, people would have known. It seems like, you know, Buffalo Saturday, Sunday, 33 degrees, 36 degrees, 40% chance of snow on Sunday. So it looks like the snow is coming.
Snow and winds could affect Buffalo.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. All right. So Philadelphia it is.
All right. There you go. Thank you, weather.
There we go. Done. Safe. All right. That's what we're going with. I got to go do my other leagues that are not doing quite as well, but are still good. It's hard because until you get the multiplier, the second week you get 2x points for anybody that had a bye. So you can't really see where you are with the others until all those players play.
Right.
But I just like the fact that we're going to get good points for Burrow and Prescott this week.
Oh, yeah. I love that we... One team at certain players, one of the other players, the multiplier. We were good at mapping that out last year. I mean, hopefully this continues again this year. You know, we'll see if our picks are right here and game picks, which leads into our player picks. But regardless, it's fun. I'm having a great time doing this, enjoying the games. But it would be nice to really win and pull this one off.
It would be great. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I want to talk really briefly before we wrap up because our podcast is called Waiver Wired. Who is your best waiver wire ad of the year this year?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I would say at times I would rotate through quarterbacks in one league, especially with popping in Jared Goff if Dak was down and he was injured. Aaron Rodgers had a couple of whatever games. So I think quarterback was a strange year for quarterbacks. We expected a lot of the high-end guys to be great, and they were not. And a lot of guys we did not expect much from, they were actually pretty good. I would say, the Carolina Panthers running back, whether you use Hubbard, mostly Dante Foreman, was a great ad for a lot number of weeks there. He was a guy that put up a big chunk of numbers. Trying to think what else we had here. At receiver, I mean, depending on the week, if you slotted in, I have before, like Darius Slayton a couple of weeks was always a good ad earlier on, especially I believe he did lead the Giants in receiving yards. So he was a good one. Those are the ones I could think of top of my head that really, really gave me a boost there.
I would say for me, Justin Fields was amazing. I back your play of Jared Goff, because one of the best things about Jared Goff, in my opinion, was because his home road splits are so dramatic, you could even kind of tell when to start him.
Right.
Like it was easy, right? Mm-hmm. Geno Smith was another one that was on waiver wire. And at some point, so was even Trevor Lawrence at running back. Jerick McKinnon for the playoffs. I didn't get him, but for whoever else did, congratulations. Wide receiver Garrett Wilson was great. Christian Watson was great. Zay Jones. And I think at tight end, it was Evan Engram, who we talked about a lot of times. And finally, mm-hmm. he really paid off down the stretch. Cole Kmet, also really, really great.
Yeah, but Cole Kmet, I did pick up too. And yeah, I would just name people that I personally picked up, not people in other leagues. But yeah, Cole Kmet was great.
For me, it was Zay Jones, like personally, Zay Jones, Christian Watson, and Justin Fields were the three waiver wire people that actually helped me, mm-hmm. You know, advance to the playoffs in my league. So yeah, great year, crazy year. I don't think it's going to be the same, but one interesting thing is when I went back, I was kind of reviewing, remember at the beginning of the year, we were talking about how it was so much more valuable to have a wide receiver. Went back, running backs evened out.
Really?
Yep. Running backs evened out as far as PPR leagues. Austin Eckler had more points than the top receiver. You know, like it evened out. So it's really just about getting your picks right. And I know that it's different in football because we feel like it's every week is so important. Quarterback was still weird. That one actually ended up being weird. But as far as the difference between running back and wide receiver, still having a stud running back, if you had a Saquon, if you had an Austin Eckler, if you had a Nick Chubb, that definitely helped you. There's no question about it. Having that locked and loaded position, it wasn't so easy to stream it. And receiver actually sort of was easy to stream, right? Because you could get a Garrett Wilson. You could get a Wandale Robinson for the weeks he was good. You mm-hmm. know, I'm excited to see him back next year, by the way.
Yes.
So we have a lot to talk about as far as the future of fantasy. And we'll do that on upcoming episodes. But we want to encourage all of you at home to play with us. We always talk about who we're picking. We want you to pick with us. And you can do that at extrapoints.com/arcade. Last week, Eddie and I both went 3-3, but we had a pick 'em winner in Dan Phoenix, who got all six right. You know, Harry might want to take some hints from you, Dan, because he went 0-6. So if you want a job, you know where to send your resume. Prop quiz winner was Brian Ross, who got 8 right. So congratulations to those guys. Brian Ross will get a gold hat. Dan Phoenix, I think it's $100. Is that right?
Yep. Pick them $100. The prop quiz, you got a gold extra points hat.
And as far as like the season long picks, if you want to be completely average and just waste your time, follow Dave and I because we are exactly 125, 125, and 8. And apparently we've been sharing the same brain. I've been looking at our picks and like we've been picking the same too. So just already, Eddie, like, what do you think it's like for me to realize I'm sharing a brain with Dave Damashek?
I think what happens is,
you know what
that
it's like in here?
We usually record on Wednesdays.
Cereal, I'm eating soup.
We usually record on Wednesdays. So our pod has to come out, obviously, for the waiver wires. Our pod usually comes out Wednesday. The pod that Dave Hench and I make our picks is Thursday. So, I mean, maybe Dave is listening and going, I'm going to copy off what Jen says.
I mean, it's not doing very well for you, Dave, is it? Actually, Dave was way up at the beginning of the season and then I chipped my way back. But we are, if you just want to be completely average, just paying juice. If all you want to do is write a check for the juice to the sports book, follow every single pick that Dave Damashek and I make for the rest of the season. And we will just let you just, you know, have fun playing and pay juice for your fees. It looks like Hinch is back in first place.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And I will say, much easier to pick with way less games on the schedule.
Yeah,
can focus in more. I feel like I have a better grasp of all these teams. It was, you know, wacky year for fantasy quarterbacks, wacky year for picks. It was very, very strange.
But I also want to say for the record that when I bet, I don't bet every single game. I just bet the ones I feel confident about. Sure. So I just want to put that out there. 129, 129, 8. So average. So you guys are probably smarter than us and you should come play and win your $100. I'm excited about this weekend's games, Eddie. I'm excited for you. Congratulations again for your Giants. Congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you.
Lots of exciting stuff ahead. And we've got some exciting stuff ahead too on the Extra Points Network.
We do.
So stay tuned. You don't want to miss an episode because we'll have more news dropping shortly. In the meantime, enjoy the football. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.